today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and many of the people are not only reflecting on the civil rights movement, but also comparing it to the current Black Lives Matter movement. These two movements are very much in our minds these days. And Jordan Moses, who's an advisor for the Black Student Association here at UMD, is here to talk to us a bit about their similarities and differences. He's a graduate who studied sociology and inequality and race as an undergrad, now pursuing a graduate degree in education. Jordan, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
This is one of the most recent and I think profound national holidays that we've had, and in the 20 or so years that it has been around, I feel like the momentum underneath this holiday is becoming more and more real for a lot of people. At first, it seemed for many to be an important observation, but didn't have a lot of traction. But I think about the history of the civil rights movement, which really is one, to me, a decade, almost a moment in what is really centuries of struggle. And when we look now to what is going on now with the Black Lives Matter movement, and it seems to me an awful preponderance of shootings by cops, for example, of African Americans throughout the country. It seems to me as if the civil rights movement is almost an echo of a memory. And I'm wondering if there's, first of all, between these two movements, is there like a continuum? Is it really been a stream of consciousness that leads from one to the next? Or are they two completely distinct moments in our history?
I think it's both and. I think, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement draws from, you know, the ideology, the legacy of Dr. King and other civil rights activists, you know, during that time, talking about inequality, talking about systemic inequality, systemic injustice, mm-hmm. right? I think that's one of the main themes that does echo. The thing that Black Lives Matter is consciously and continually bringing to the forefront is systemic injustice. But I also think it's unique in its own right. I think, you know, in 2015, 2016, you know, with technology, with the internet, and how folks organize in that right as well, brings some unique qualities to this movement. So I think it has a lot of similarities and differences, but I think it does definitely echo that foundational element of systemic injustice mm-hmm. and inequality. So.
Well, does the internet, though, and technology, does that in a sense, just reflect the way that the movement is operated? Or does it actually somehow embed itself in the way that the movement believes and feels? For example, I think about Tiananmen Square. And one of the things that they remarked about that, even now almost two decades ago, was that it the reason that it was able to occur and have such a profound group of people that were able to gather and communicate was because of the internet, mm-hmm. even in China, mm-hmm. that way of getting the message out was so much more instant, and that the Chinese government was unable to contain that. Does the Black Lives Matter movement thrive because of the technology, or is there something about the technology for the movement that is changing the message?
Yeah, I think it does thrive because of the technology. I mean, if you look at something like Bloody Sunday, when the march was attacked, you know, a bunch of civil rights leaders, activists, supporters, you know, on the news at that time, 70 million people were watching mm-hmm. on the news because yeah. there was, what, 5-6 channels, right? There wasn't this oversaturation of television to watch. And so there wasn't a lot of choice in that. But now you have, you know, 50-something odd news channels in which a lot of viewers are more spread out in their options and their choices. And I think the internet brings power to kind of report a lot of the news and a lot of the things that are going on. I don't think we would be having a conversation here or nationwide if the internet wasn't around. I think we would have overlooked a lot of folks like Tamir Rice, you know, Trayvon Martin, Rekia Boyd, Sandra Bland, yeah. all these other folks who died in police custody or died by vigilantes. And I think the internet kind of brings that. It allows us to point to injustices or at least to ask questions and say, you know, what's going on here? We should pay attention to this. So I think you know, with the internet, the movement thrives. It allows for more transparency, more mm-hmm. accountability, and people to connect across nations, across state lines, city lines, things like that.
Does the transparency also come through in the way that the message isn't necessarily controlled by the central media power? I mean, when you have, as you say, four or five channels reporting on the message, they could kind of put their own spin on the mm-hmm. message, but the internet and texting, Twitter, Facebook, the message can come from within, I think, more directly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it also holds our media outlets accountable. I don't know if you were watching the stuff that was going on with Minneapolis and Jamar Clark, and they had reported that protesters were pepper spraying the police. But if you went onto Twitter, however, you could see very clear video of police pepper spraying, you know, the protesters through the fence. And so there was the ability to say, hey, this, you know, we're calling you out. You're lying right. blatantly. We're trying to hold you accountable. So please report the news accurately. And so I think there's that advantage, too, is it allows us to get a more clear picture and get multiple perspectives and also hear individual stories who are in that moment and in that time.
Is the platform on which the movement stands, does it feel different, do you think, than the way it felt for people in the 1960s?
I would imagine. I would imagine it feels a lot different. I also think, you know, one of the downsides of something like the internet is, as accessible as it is to folks who are supporting you, it's just as accessible to folks who want to tear you down or organize a counter-protest or a counter-movement. Yeah. You know, and during the civil rights movement, with segregation, although it's a terrible thing, some of the power that came from segregation is there were actually spaces for people of color, spaces for black people. And so it was a lot easier to bring a message to a specific place and not have that message poisoned or twisted by folks who were there to tear you down. Whereas it's a lot harder to organize, you know, over the internet or through media or in a transparent way without having people trying to kind of disrupt what you're doing.
Sure. By the same token, though, does that make it harder to focus the message because so many voices can speak at the same time? Does it create too much of a din?
I do think it makes it difficult to focus the message, and I think it allows for folks to kind of, you know, disassociate or use other folks on the internet who are saying things about race or racism that are incorrect or maybe misguided, and the opposition of something like Black Lives Matter can use that as a scapegoat to say, oh, well, look, you know, this is Black Lives Matter supporting this kind of messaging. And that's not necessarily true, but I think, you know, with all these people having this conversation, that the message can sometimes get lost through various perspectives.
And as much as you can spread the message by sharing or liking on Facebook, that doesn't necessarily mean that you represent what you're sharing or posting.
Yes, exactly.
Right. We're speaking with Jordan Moses, who's an advisor to the Black Student Association here at UMD. He's also a graduate student in education. Compared to the 1960s, the Black Lives Matter movement, I guess they both seem to, in some ways, some of the more profound movements in the 1960s were touched off by specific events, you know, one particular strike or a particular event of racism or a killing. And I think the Black Lives Matter movement as well has been responding to specific things, but it's also become a movement that's much larger than any one event. What do you think is the difference between the overall message of the movement compared to the civil rights movement now?
Yeah, I think the overall message of this movement, I think we Black Lives Matter and folks having this conversation are highly focused on the criminal justice system. I think the civil rights movement was very much focused on voting rights, economic inequality, things like that. And it's not to say Black Lives Matter isn't having those conversations or trying to address those things, but we're taking a very obvious and blatant thing and trying to have those conversations through those events, because sometimes it's easier to, you know, to address concerns from a more blatantly obvious injustice. So I think that's kind of one of the differences in how we look at this inequality and how we look at the different events is Black Lives Matter, at least on the national scale, is very focused on talking about inequality in the criminal justice system.
They're one of the most, I guess I'll use the word pithy, maybe kind of succinct sound bites that I've heard in opposition, which I think doesn't quite understand what the movement is about, is, well, all lives matter, is this response that I hear quite a bit, which nobody's denying that for a moment. But the Black Lives Matter movement isn't trying to say that Black Lives Matter more than others. Mm-hmm. That's not the message at all. What would be the response to that kind of statement?
Yeah, I think with, you know, hashtag Black Lives Matter, there's an implied to or also.
Right.
You know, we live in a world that does value white folks over people of color, over black folks. We can see it in our stats on education, criminal justice, unemployment, all basically across the board.
Yeah.
And so I think people are misunderstanding that we're trying to have a specific conversation about specific inequality, specific discrepancies in our systems, in our institutions. And so it's not saying, hey, you know, black lives are the only lives that matter. It's saying black lives matter, and we should show that through our policies and practices, and we should have stats. We should have, you know, a society that reflects that systemically. So
The one thought I had, the civil rights movement was in many ways about trying to change laws, you know, change voting laws, change laws about segregation. So changing laws in the 60s, this is in some ways still trying to change laws, but it also seems to be more about changing minds and hearts more than changing just the laws. It's really about trying to educate about how we feel about each other as much as how we treat each other according to the law books.
For sure. Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of it has to do with changing minds as well. I think that's important. I think it's also important that they are, you know, Black Lives Matter is keeping the systemic, very political perspective and lens, and really trying to address policies on a local, state, and federal level. I mean, if you watched the debate last night, you know, it's very apparent that Black Lives Matter is having influence on how candidates are talking about inequality on you know, a partisan sort of perspective. You've got folks addressing it from the GOP. You've got folks who are part of the DNC who are also talking about this openly and fairly honestly. So I think that's important to recognize.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, the conversation is being changed, and I think that's, in fact, one of the most profound things one can do is if not make it the central issue, you're changing the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So. Well, Jordan, thanks so much for speaking today, coming in this morning on this day. I know there are events throughout the day that people will be at and attending. Despite the cold, it's worth being out there, of course, and making your voices heard. So thank you so much for being here today.
Yes, thank you. Pleasure.
Jordan Moses, who is the advisor to the Black Student Association here at UMD, a graduate student in education here at UMD.